speak to our hearts and should encourage us. And the Lord was with Joseph. And you go ahead and insert your name in right there. Because no matter what's going on in your life at any given point in time, the Lord is with us. We have that promise in His Word that He would never leave us and that He would never forsake us. Let's continue reading. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and knew not all he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now we find that as Joseph goes into this house, and out, he founds grace in his master's eyes, and that everything that Joseph touched began to prosper, and that it began to do good. And it was so much so that his master said, you know, you just take everything that I have, and it's all at your will, and you do anything you want to with it. And the Lord blessed it, and he didn't even really have to give an account for what he was doing. And as Joseph is doing this, I wonder if sometimes, I'm going to put this in my perspective and in the way that my mind works. If I was Joseph, I'd be like, this started out rough. I was in that old pit. But now, God, this is more like it. This is more like what it's supposed to be. Because as you begin to read these verses of Scripture, and you begin to see, look, verse number 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight. You can back up just a little bit. And verse number 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. See, when those things are working together in our life, and we're prospering, and God's with us, and we're finding grace, and the people around us, they like us, and they put us in positions of authority, and man, everything's just working really good in our life, we sit back and we say, man, the Lord's just blessing me, and He does. He blesses us, absolutely. And we look and we think that this is the way that life is supposed to be as a Christian. We think that, well, now I guess I'm in God's will because everything is working out, everything is good, and I'm being prosperous, and I'm finding grace, and people like me, and God, now this is more like it. And you know what? That's a whole lot of the gospel that's being preached in pulpits today. As long as everything is going good, y'all remember Lynn's part in the Christmas play last year, don't you? About how he was, you know, you'll be prosperous. I think the saying was, the more you pay, the longer your days. Is that what it was? Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of, you know, the thought process that's in a lot of churches now, or maybe in the new thought prospect of the prosperous gospel is, man, if you're not prospering, it's because you're not quite right with God. But that may not always be the case, because I don't see, you know, as we studied 2 weeks ago, as Joseph was being thrown into a pit, God was working a plan in his life. But I'm sure if you asked Joseph at that point in time, he wouldn't have said, man, I'm just prospering. God's good. Maybe Joseph would have, but I'm going to talk about my perspective of that. I'd been going, man, I don't know about this. This is not exactly what I signed up for. And here we find Joseph now in chapter number 39, in the first 6 verses. Everything is turning around and everything's going good. And I'd say, oh, brother so-and-so from down the church come by and said, you must have got your heart right, Joseph, because God's really blessing you now. God's just letting everything that you touch being prosperous, and everything that you touch, you're finding grace, and everything's wonderful for you. So you must really be living close to the Lord, and you must really be doing. But that's not the case. And don't ever let somebody tell you. Now look, I was talking to a friend of mine just the other day, and we were talking about how some things happen in our lives sometimes, and when they do, I always stop and say, okay, God, if you're trying to get my attention because something's wrong in my life, show me. I don't want to go no further than what I am, God. If you're trying to get my attention, you've got it. I want you to show me. But when things start happening in our life, it's not always a punishment from God. It's not always God saying, hey, I'm going to convict you and I'm going to straighten you out. Sometimes it's a plan that God's putting together in our lives that we don't see the whole idea of just yet. But as Joseph is here, now everything's beginning to prosper and everything's beginning to do good. I know how I would be. I'd be saying, now God, this is more like it. This is more like what I pictured living for you should be. But as Joseph continues to do the things he's doing, and as he continues to try to allow God to use his life and fulfill this vision that God has given him, I want you to look what happens in verse number 7. When you get willing to do something for God. And when you get to the place where you say, okay, God, I want you to use me. And God, I know you got a plan. So God, I'm going to allow you to work your plan in my life. Just be ready for something. Verse number 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in his house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. I want you to notice in verse number 7, after Joseph is, man, he's probably thinking, yeah, here it is, God, you're blessing, and God, I'm glad that this is more like the life that I seen, that I thought that you might give me. Here comes Satan to try and wreck the plan that God has for Joseph's life. Now, we talked about and we studied a couple of weeks ago how that when God's got a plan for your life, that nobody can mess up God's plan. But there's also a little stipulation to that. I think that I'm the one, if anything can mess up God's plan for my life, it's me. I'm the one that can make choices that interferes with God's plan for my life. Now, everybody else, whatever they do, I know God can overcome that. But there may be things that God's laid out for me in my life that God wants me to do, and God's got a plan for me. And don't get me wrong, the work's going to get done no matter what. If God has to use somebody else, the work's going to get done. But if God's got a plan for my life, I think that I'm the one that can make some choices to kind of deter or defer that plan. And here Joseph is, and you know, as he's here working in his master's house, and he's at the top of the totem pole, and everything's being prosperous, and everything's working good, and now all of a sudden, the man's wife gets the sweet eye for him. And she begins to look, and you know that can be a downfall for a whole lot of men. I'm thankful I was born fat and ugly, so I don't have that problem. Nobody's hit on me in so many years, I couldn't tell you. Autumn, she'll get whistled at every now and again. I can't even get ugly girls to whistle at me. I don't know what the deal is. But here Joseph is, and he's in the master's house, and the master's wife has got... I'm sorry, I got somebody tickled in here. The master's wife has got the sweet eye for him, and she's trying to, hey, come lie with me. Come be with me. And you know what? The only thing that is Satan trying to wreck the plan that God has for Joseph's life. And when you and I get serious about allowing God to use our lives and being able to be right in the center of God's will, be ready for Satan to send temptation your way. He is going to try to put something in front of you. He's going to try to put something out there to make you look away from God's plan for your life, to make you step side to side of God's will in your life. But always remember, the Bible tells us in every temptation that comes my way that God has provided a way of escape. So many times, though, we don't look for that way of escape. I think a lot of times that way of escape is we know what it is. It's just as plain as these doors with exit written across the top of them. That we know right here's my way of escape, but yet we choose to stay and be tempted a little longer. We choose to stay and put ourselves in a place where things can tempt us even longer than they have to be. I can remember, I think I've shared this with you before, but Autumn and I were dating really young, and I can remember my brother sitting down. My brother was in church and doing great. He might have even been married by the time. Yeah, because Autumn and I's first date was my brother and her sister's wedding rehearsal. I know that gets a little close, but keep it straight. So as we began dating, I can remember my brother coming to me as an older sibling, as somebody trying to help me spiritually. And he'd come to me and he said, now, Josh, he said, I want you to understand something. He said, there's going to be times when you and Autumn are alone and things want to go further than it's supposed to go. He said, go to Walmart. Go somewhere. Get yourself out of that place to be tempted. And you know what? Sometimes that's difficult for us to do. Because we get to the place and that temptation to our flesh, it feels right. That temptation is, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But when you get to the place that you're being tempted, it don't always have to be a fleshly, lustly temptation. But we all know that there's something that gives us trouble. There's something that bothers us that maybe tempts us more than other things. When that temptation comes, get yourself out of the place where that temptation can flourish and where that temptation can go to more than just temptation. The temptation without the opportunity is harmless. If you've got a temptation that you can't fulfill, then that temptation will be harmless. So get away from the place where you can be tempted. And Joseph is here, and man, the master's wife's got the sweet eye. But look at verse number 8. Look what it says. But he refused. He took that way of escape. He knew that God had a plan, and he knew, because let's continue reading in verse number 9. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness? So he lays out the reason for pretty plain, first of all, that, hey, your husband has put me in charge of everything. You're the only thing that he has told me that I can't have. And I want you to know, because of that, and because I respect him, and because of my position, I'm not interested. But I want you to look at reason number 2, which I feel like is probably really reason number 1 in Joseph's heart. But he says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know, that's the thing that we need to take into play when temptation comes our way. And temptation comes everybody's way. We all have that something that bothers us. But when that temptation comes, we need to stop and not only say, well, I don't want to do this because it might mess up my testimony. I don't want to do that. But we need to look and say, God, who loved me so much to allow his son to come die for me, why would I want to sin against him? And when you begin to weigh it out like that, maybe it'll be easier for us to look for that way of escape. But Joseph says, I can't do this great wickedness because I'm not going to do anything against your husband, because look what he's done for me. And then he says, and also I don't want to sin against God. Verse number 10, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. Look, I want you to notice something. It just kept coming. The temptation just kept on. And it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Verse number 11, as we look, as Joseph goes into the house to do his work for the day, and the Bible tells us that none of the men of the house were there. Now, we know that Joseph still didn't fall. He still didn't give in to the temptation, but he was in a place that he didn't have anybody to back up his story. Let me just say this to us as men, especially while we're here. Don't put yourself in a place to where it's your word against somebody else's word of whether something happened or not. I know work situations nowadays, it can come up. I know there's different things that can happen. But that's why if you see some of the little kids at church come to me and say, hey, we want to talk to you, I'll say, let's grab another adult and let's go back here and talk. If one of the ladies of the church wants to talk to me, go find another lady that you got some confidence in and let's all three go sit and talk. Don't put yourself in a position to where things could turn into temptation or where anybody could say anything that even if it's not true, that could hurt your testimony. Let's continue. Verse number 13. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me. And I cried with a loud voice. Man, I'm telling you. As Joseph is here and he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, and God is blessing, man, Satan can't handle it. And not only does he provide that temptation, he also provides somebody that'll just absolutely lie about Joseph. In verse number 15, and it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid upon his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Now, hang on a minute. That's not the way this is supposed to work. Joseph is doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's in there, he's right in the middle of God's plan. He went through the pit. God brought him out of the pit and put him where he's supposed to be. And man, everything's prospered and everything's good. He denied temptation. He didn't go for the temptation. Now, you could understand if Joseph had fallen You could understand maybe his life taking a turn for the worse. If Joseph had failed for the temptation, if Joseph was not didn't have the spiritual strength to say no to the temptation, you could kind of understand if God allowed that. But why in the world? When Joseph's doing everything right, Joseph's in the middle of God's will, Joseph denied temptation, Joseph is doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing, and things are prospering and things are doing good. Why in this world would God allow this to happen in his life? I can't answer that for you. No more than I can answer the question when something happens bad in somebody's life now. And people come and say, now, preacher, if we serve a God of love and God wants the best for me and God's here for me, why did this happen in my life? There's a whole lot of those questions that I just have absolutely no answer for. Those are some of the toughest questions that I get asked. But as we look at this, and as we continue reading, and then we won't get to it all tonight, we know that God had a plan. And you know what's tough, though, sometimes? Is now, even now in today's time, when people come to me and ask me that, it feels empty to look at them and go, God's got a plan. Just trust God. Because, I mean, I'll just put it straight to you. It almost feels like a cop-out answer. Oh, just trust God. God's got a plan. But I want you to know something. There is no more true answer that you can give a child of God than trust God. God's got a plan. There's no more true answer. Sometimes it's even hard to say, because when somebody's asking you that question, you feel like you're just dodging the situation to say, trust God. God's got a plan. And it's easy to say that when you're not the one in the middle of that situation. But for true born-again believers, children of God, that's the most powerful answer that you can give them. Trust God. God's got a plan. Just as Joseph is right here. I mean, he's doing everything right. He didn't fall for the sin trap that was laid in front of him. And yet, look what happens. His master's anger was kindled against him in verse number 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And there he was, and he was there in the prison. It's not fair. It's not right. Joseph's a godly man, and God's allowed him to be put in prison. Look, everything that happens in our life is not going to seem fair. It's not going to seem right. I know some really good, strong Christian people who are going through some stuff right now that I don't understand why they got to go through it. I've seen Christian people, good, strong Christian people, that went through stuff that went from my side of it, from the earthly side of it, we look at it and go, God, that's not fair. Why do good people have to suffer? Why do good people go through bad things? Here again, this is an answer that it's hard for us to understand on this side, but I believe one day when we get to glory and God says, I want to show you what I was doing, that there's going to be a lot of aha moments. There's going to be a lot of, oh, God, I see what you was doing now. That's going to be a sweet time, isn't it? Because I believe there's probably some of us even sitting in here tonight that we've been through some stuff that we say, God, I have no idea what you were doing. It's going to be sweet when God finally shows us and we're able to go, oh, I get it now. I think that's going to be one thing in heaven that makes heaven heaven, is for God to show us some things like that. But here Joseph is. He's done everything right. And I think this proves to us also that when things happen bad in your life, don't automatically go, well, I must not be right with God. Now, I always try to check and say, hey, am I right with God? But just because something bad happens in your life, don't go, whew, I must have been out of God's will. Joseph was perfect, exactly where he was supposed to be. He denied the temptation and everything. But I want you to look what happens in verse number 21. In verse number 20, Joseph is in jail. There's no way that he should have been in jail. He should still been in the master's house, being prosperous and everything going good. But look, he's in prison. But I want you to see what happens in verse number 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. Even when things fall apart, just like we read at the beginning of the chapter, even when things were falling apart, even though Joseph could have been sitting down there going, God, I quit. I don't know what your plan is, but I don't like it. Anybody ever said that? Yeah, I've said that. God, I don't know what your plan is, but I'm not a fan of it. Now, in retrospect, he's always been there, and he's always come through for me. But here Joseph is. He's in prison, but thank God he's not there by himself. But the Lord was with Joseph. I want you to see what happens. and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. All of a sudden, he's become top dog in prison too. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Kind of in closing tonight, I want you to think about this, that no matter where Joseph was, when he was at home with his brothers, when he was in the pit, when he was in the master's house, and then when he was in prison, I want you to notice something, that people knew that the Lord had his hand on his life. What about you and I? What about in our daily walk, in our daily things that we do? Can people look at your life and say, hey, I know God's got his hand on their life? Well, you know why that was so evident? Because of the way that Joseph handled himself through all of the situations. Because of the way that Joseph... Now, see, I find myself whining and moaning and... I mean, I was mad this morning because we didn't get snow. How silly and simple was that? When I say mad, I got up saying, well, that was a waste of a good forecast. This is, I think it's what I said to Autumn when I got up this morning. I mean, I was wanting to go snow sledding. It's like I told the guys at work. I said, I want it to snow so deep that everybody knows we're closed. They don't even call and ask for plumbing parts tomorrow. I want everybody to know we're closed. But then as the day went on and this happened and that happened, I kept myself kind of in a bad mood all day, moaning and groaning over little bitty stuff. So naturally, I'm thankful for this time of refuge tonight. But I can't think through my life today and go, you know what? I affected somebody today because they know the Lord's hand is on my life. And how many times, it's almost become, I don't want it to become a habit. I want it to always be something that I really mean. But how many times do I say, Lord, let me live a life that gives you glory and points someone else to the cross? That's what Joseph was doing. No matter where he was at, people could see that the Lord's hand was on him. So whether it be at fellowship, when I'm on the podium or the platform preaching, or if I'm selling a plumbing part, or if I'm driving down the road, I should have it in my mind, God, I want my life to be the place that people knows that your hand is on my life, that my life gives him glory and points somebody else to the cross. I don't think you found Joseph down there in the prison saying, oh, Lord, this is what I get. I made a stand for God, and I didn't fall into sin, and look what God done to me. Shame on me. Shame on me. God help me to be more like the people that we see in the Bible who really did let God's light shine in their life. I'm going to tell you right now, this world needs to see God's light in our life. They're not going to find it in everything else that they're looking at right now. It's up to us as Christians to go out here and to let God's light shine in our life. Y'all pray for me, and I'll pray for y'all that through the things that we go through, that we'll always look and let other people see that God's hand is on our life. Because no matter where you're at, just as the scripture said tonight, the Lord is with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I feel like a really big hypocrite up here trying to teach this message tonight. God's how many times that I find myself and I think that everything's supposed to be just prosperous and rosy, and everything's just supposed to be wonderful in my life because I trust you. And God, that is wonderful that I have trusted you and that you are with me no matter what. But God, I pray that you'll help me in every situation in my life, whether it be a pit, whether it be prison, or whether I'm prospering, God, that I always let your light shine in my life, that I will always let other people know how good that God is in my life. God, help us as we go from day to day, that others may see you, that somebody that's lost may see that there's something different about us, and God, that we may have an opportunity to use our life to give you glory and point someone else to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for watching on Facebook tonight. We really appreciate you being with us. Good Lord willing, and nothing bad don't happen, we'll see you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.